Thank you guys for tuning into another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Patrick Pettigrew Jr., full name this time. In front of me are my two best friends in the world, Calvin McGowan and Philip Dixon. Guys, go ahead and let the people hear your name.
What's up, everybody? Once again, I'm Calvin McGowan, as always. It is a pleasure to be here.
What's going on? My name is Philip Dixon, a.k.a. the Brazen Brand Man, and here we go.
Yeah, I know you're living a rough life. You're out here eating Brazen Bran in the middle of the day. But Calvin, go ahead and get us started off with the tip off, my man.
I'm ready for the series to end. Like, it's just something. It's been something every game. Right?
Which series?
Oh. Is this really, sir, you're enjoying this entirely too much. But the Golden State Grizzlies series, it's been, like, how do I put this? Like, it almost seems like dudes are actually trying to hurt each other. And, right, of course, game one, Draymond, right, with Brandon Clark. Game two, Dylan Brooks with Gary Payton. And now, you know, game three with Ja and Jordan Poole in a game that was basically a blowout, which is makes it wilder, honestly. Like, of course, right, I didn't necessarily think the Grizzlies would get out of this one if for no other reason lack of experience anyway, but, like, dudes might actually get hurt before this one is over. And it, well, dudes have already gotten hurt. What am I talking about? The ship has sailed. But, like, I don't know. This isn't really okay. Right? This is not enjoyable. Shit.
Yeah, all of it feels gross. It feels very like tit for tat. Like, you did this to us, so we gotta do this to you. Like, they keep talking about a cold where I'm like, this feels very baseball.
Like, that's what you're right. It does feel tit for tat. Real quick, I want to point out the fact that Collins had a loss for words was hilarious. But, anyways. It does seem very tit for tat, but that's what's going to happen when you have a young team whose franchise is like known to be like nose to the pavement, like they go for it, right? Like traditionally, I guess, like a modern sense, that's like the Grizzlies' MO, and they're a young team fitting into that whole entire message, the whole entire movement. So, if you have a player on the opposite team, such as Draymond Green, who we talked about last week, who did what he did in game one to get the flagrant two, and then you got Steph Curry, who isn't talking crazy, but Steph Curry, we talked about it before, he talked crazy to you in the most suburban ways, right? So when Draymond Green talking that talk, Steph Curry is not his head extra hard behind him, like, yeah, what you gonna do about it? And then he's shooting threes and turn around and shimmying on you, all kind of stuff, right? So if you are a nose to the pavement grind team and you're a young team, you aren't gonna allow that, no matter who it is, the Warriors with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, you aren't gonna be okay with that. And so I think it's just like a dynamics thing, too. It just how it happened to be, right? And it just needed one person to kind of, you know, get the ball rolling with that. And it just happened to be, not just happened to be, of course it would be Draymond Green. So I think it's just like, once again, it's just like you said, Alan. It's like a blow-for-blow kind of thing. But I agree with Calvin. It's kind of saying, it shouldn't be a somebody gets hurt every game kind of scenario. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, my thing with it is I don't necessarily think it's a super blow for blow thing, but it's very, like, part of me wants to be like dudes being careless, but it's not quite that. I think it's on some level, except maybe Draymond's, which I feel is probably the most intentional out of the three things that have prompted this discussion, is that, right, it's young players like trying to play hard, and I think with Dylan Brooks's, for example, I don't think he, I'll put it like this, I think he was trying to foul dude, make sure he didn't, you know, get the easy layup. I don't think he was trying to give Peyton a, was it like a fracture in his elbow?
Yeah.
And right, I think some of, and like, and I think some of it comes with the reckless, the fearlessness and the speed with which the Grizzlies play, and just the general kind of, I'm not sure if cockiness is a good word, of the Warriors, and like just the general, also like the reffing's just been weird. Like it was also strange with the Timberwolves game. It was arguably more strange because you'd have a 40-minute first quarter and then, like, a 10-minute second quarter. That's neither here nor there. But, like, I feel like the reffing in the Grizzlies games, in the playoffs at least, and probably not just the Grizzlies, but, like, those are most of the games I've watched, has been inconsistent, right? Switching, oscillating, like, the refs oscillating wildly between, like, seeming to call every little ticky-tack thing and, like, not calling obvious stuff, right? Like,
it's, I also think it's, I think a lot of the tit for tat that me and Alan mentioned earlier is circumstantial. A lot of it just happens to be what it is, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think at the end of the day, this is just sports. And take the Brooks thing, right? And Gary Payton the second. Mm-hmm. That was a defender trying not to give up a layup in a playoff basketball game, and someone happened to get hurt. What the league wants, final one game, what the league wants is more offense. Let him get that breakaway dunk, whatever. If you're playing basketball, if you're a coach, you're saying run that man down as hard as you can. It just so happened to be, you know, Brooks isn't LeBron athletically, so he's not going to jump out of the gym and block off a backboard, whatever, right? And Gary Payton is really, really athletic, right? So it just happened to be circumstantial. And I do think, I'm here, you know, I've seen some narratives out there about this. I do think a lot of people are just taking it out. They're just taking it out of proportion. It is sports. People are going to get hurt in sports if you play hard in a sport. But the league doesn't want... The league wants more offense not getting hurt, right? They don't want the defense, the you know, the thing to take away from the fast break dunk kind of stuff, right? But when you get a young, hard-nosed team like the Grizzlies, you're going to run into these scenarios. They're just not going to let you dunk on and be okay with it and then go back down the court. And those are teams that's not going to be okay. There are other teams that also feel that way and tend to play that way. But I do think that it is just sports, and people get hurt when you play sport at the highest level. And nowadays we have like the technological advancements of like, oh, people shouldn't be getting hurt, this, that, whatever, in sports. And at the end of the day, sometimes it is just like, you're going to get hurt. You know what I mean? So that's, I have that thought process on, I have that thought process on this as well.
Yeah.
Fair. I will say though, that I'm not that upset that Brooks got suspended for it. Like, well, like, here's the thing, right? Like, from a, like, trying to enforce rules and safety and whatever, you, by, you know, the way the rules are set up and just kind of trying to enforce safety, like, I understand that.
He was like, going,
I'm not, yeah.
But he was 100% going for the ball.
What does it enforce? Like, realistically. Like, it just that is a normal basketball play. Like, I was listening to Bomani Jones' podcast at the right time. He was basically saying around like the 80s, early 90s,
that's just a foul.
Yeah, and they took those plays out of the game in playoffs because you ramp everything up. So if you get hit a little harder, you get hit a little harder. Like, there was no malintent. Yeah, he got him on the head.
Yeah, he got him on the head. At the end of the day, I think for a lot of flagrant twos, you have to establish what was the intent of the individual, right? Yeah, and sometimes it's going to be hard to gauge. I understand that. But he obviously didn't just go for the man's head or obviously did. He jumped, ran for it, and Gary Payton was more athletic and jumped higher. He was behind him trying to catch back up. That's all it was. I don't think he should have been a flagrant two. I don't think he should have been suspended. I don't think that at all. But once again, it's the league telling you that you shouldn't do this. It is not playing hard. It is them saying, if he has a breakaway layup and you can't get it, you shouldn't go for it. But then it's the playoffs. The stakes are high. People are going to get hurt because it's competitive and really athletic and really fast. So when you're on the sideline, you're a ref in slow motion. Like you said, you mentioned it earlier, Colin, in slow motion, you're able to break down and dissect these things. None of these refs, none of these league officials have ever been on an NBA court with the stakes this high playing on a team trying to win a championship.
NBA players that are referees now.
So what?
You know, there are some former NBA players that are referees now. They're few and far between, but there are some in the press.
If you want to look at the percentage, though, it's drastically, it's weighted way more in one direction than the other.
Just straight up.
Whatever. You know what I mean? So I do think this is PR control, essentially. It is PR control. It's marketing for what they want the league to be. And this might not, right now, we're having this conversation, but 10 years from now, you might have a whole new generation going, that's definitely, you got to be smarter in the moment and know whatever, right? But me personally, my personal opinion, that should not warrant a suspension. Because somebody got hurt doesn't mean your intent was malice by any means.
Yeah. Speaking of people not getting suspensions, Jordan Poole didn't get a suspension. And what he did arguably just looks a bit worse because of him, like, actually grabbing the knee and then the push in the back. Like, I know in the grand scheme of things, this probably isn't enough. Or have we even got word on what exactly is up with Ja's knee?
Not specifically.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything.
So whatever tweak happened, like, it's just the optics of all of this looks bad because it's literally just like one play is one upping the next. Like, the first one, it looks bad because it's Draymond, and we already know what's up with Draymond. The next one, you lose a key role player with Gary Payton fracturing his elbow. And now we do not know. Is Ja even slotted to return for the next game?
He's not this game. They haven't, once again, it's playoffs. They're not going to tell you until it comes close.
So we're looking at one of the key players, one of the marquee players in this series, not coming back probably for like the next game or two, which is huge because he's the reason why they're here. Like,
the next man up
is what, Jaren Jackson? And I still to this day don't like seeing Jaren shoot the ball. Like, it is the ugliest, hitchiest. Like, it is. You remember when they was talking about Draymond Green having a backpack on when he shot?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's that level of atrocious where I'm like, dog, this hurts me to watch you shoot. Like, I know you're shooting a good percentage, but do something else, please.
Get a post. That pack on, that's crazy.
He's got like three shots. One of them is good. I just want him to keep shooting that particular shot.
Fix it in the summer, Playboy. Please. It's an eyesore.
If it goes
in. If it drops, I don't care what it looks like. I'm not even going to pretend.
That's how most people feel nowadays.
Y'all better than me, boy. The only person I let slide, like, Sean Marion. Everybody like else, fix it.
Like, if I was coaching, I'd probably try and address the general ugliness of it. But, like, come game day, did it drop or not?
You got a point. You got a point. Don't be out here embarrassing me. You wearing my jersey, son. I don't know. Phillip, we got to get in your bag real quick because I know you're following the 76ers.
How you know that?
I already know, bro. It's Harden, it's Embiid. Like, those are like two of your guys. So, how you feel about this series so far? It's all knotted up.
Jimmy Butler been doing pretty good. Man, pretty good. He's carrying that team to the two losses.
Sounds like him.
There you go. I had to finish that sentence real quick, Calvin.
No, I actually like Butler.
I am fine with Butler. And I've said it once, I'll say it again. Butler can't be your number one option. You win a championship. Butler has to be your number two. He's a good number two. He's a great number two option. But if he's your go-to player, you won't win a championship. I'm sorry. I mean, Klay Thompson is prime. Great number two. If Klay Thompson's your number one option, you're not winning a championship, right? No. He's just in that category. It's, you know, Klay Thompson, Jay Butler, Paul George, right? They're not number one options. They're really, really good number two options, though, right? And he's been doing really, really good. But the thing is, the first two games, there was a man missing. A very crucial man missing for the 76ers. And we all know who that is. I don't need to say his name out loud yet. I'll build up the anticipation. So he was missing. And then they took advantage of it. They beat the Miami Heat. They took advantage of it, double teaming and running schemes at James Harden and making people seem like making James Harden. Not making James Harden, because James Harden has looked slow. I mean, slow, not in terms of like being out of shape, just not being in terms of like the greatest ISO player that we might have ever seen, right? Like, we're used to James Harden being a 10. Right now, he's like 7-8, right? And I think it has something to do with like age, wear and tear. Once again, not everybody will age like LeBron. Sometimes people age normally. You know what I mean? And so they were doing that. Tobias Harris has averaged more than 20 points a game. He's been doing their thing, but it all equaled up to losses. Miami was just on their throat. Hero came out gunning. I mean, gunning. He came out doing super, super good. Kyle Lowry was out, but, like, they didn't need his production because a certain man was out for 76ers. The first two games, Miami takes. The third game, Joel Embiid comes in, and I believe he scored 18 points, 11 rebounds. And his field goal percentage was not good, but he was there. He was there in the middle of the court, and as soon as he's there, this is how you know somebody's nice. As soon as you step on the court, then the whole other team's scheme changes. Like, the whole game looked completely different just because of his presence there. All of a sudden, these schemes were running at James Harden. These schemes were running at Tobias Harris, at Maxwell. All these schemes running at them are null and void because Joel Embiid requires a double team at all times. So all of a sudden, game one, who's getting really easy, good shots? Everybody. Okay, or game three, excuse me, everybody. Game one with him actually being able to play. Game two, the most previous game that has been played with Joel Embiid actually playing. James Harden is like, oh, I saw them open this third game, so now this fourth game, I know I'm open, and I'm going to take advantage of it. And what do? Drop 16 in the fourth quarter alone. He started to look like a glimpse
of what he once was, right? But that's because Joel Embiid is there. Now, I don't know if we're going to talk about MVP, but Joel Embiid did not win MVP. But you literally saw what this team was without him. Like, you had a glimpse to see, what is this team without Joel Embiid? And this team without Joel Embiid maybe not be a playoff team. With Joel Embiid, if Chris Middleton's out, they have a chance against Milwaukee if they make it that far. You know what I mean? So that's the importance of him. And it's kind of just been like a wild thing to watch, I'm not going to lie to you. Because they went from two games down to tied a game. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, it's anybody's game. But the way the confidence they have, the way they're going, you can't stop Joel Embiid. And he's playing defense. I don't think that he will win another game.
So
because Joel Embiid's gaining more confidence. He changed the game without playing well. So you get 3-4 games under his belt. You think you're going to beat him, especially this year, especially now, with the thought process of, oh, I didn't win MVP. So I didn't win MVP, but you're going to see what I can do when the man who won MVP is sitting at home on his couch. That's like a mindset he's probably going to have. You know what I mean? Just like prove the doubters wrong, the whole entire thing. Remember, these are NBA players. They're wild competitive. So especially if it comes out with like that aggressive, no, this is I'm that dude, I should have won MVP mentality. I don't think Miami's gonna win another game.
Okay. So this is just observing box scores and whatever, because I haven't tuned into this series like I probably should have. But just look at game 4. Harden and Butler basically cancel each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the Heat shot awfully from 3.
Yeah, they did.
Like, I like Jimmy Butler. I like him a lot. I clearly like him more than you do. But like, you're gonna struggle to win if he hits more threes than anybody else.
If you have James
Harden, except for Struss, but
if you have James Harden and Jimmy Butler, if they kept each other out,
the Heat win.
The team had to step up.
Yeah.
The Sixers have
somebody. I mean, not the Heat. The Sixers win. My bad.
The Sixers have somebody automatically who's going to step up.
Right.
At any given moment, you don't know who the man's going to step up on the other side. You don't know who it is. Right? Yeah, it could be Tyler Hero. It could be Kyle Lowry. But that's what it is. A bunch of it could be people. The Sixers, you know exactly who it's going to be. And it don't matter. He's not going to go out there with 9 points. All those other people, Kyle Lowry, he might go out there not play that mode, not play well. Right? Tyler Hero, he might have off game. Like, these people have off games. Joel Embiid's going to get 18 points, double-digit rebounds. He's going to do what he do and then play hard defensively. So who would you rather go with? The what ifs or coulds or the guarantee? Man, that was hard.
It was a bar. Okay. This is my real question. I cannot watch that series because of how slow the game is. Like, it is hard for me to pay attention. And I get it. They have to be methodical on both sides. But I believe I watched game 3 and you can tell that they can turn, like, the 76ers can turn it on offensively when they decide to. Why are they not just boat racing these boys?
I would imagine because, unless like I'm forgetting something. All right, one of the dudes they've built the offense around is Embiid, and like, Embiid's not that fast.
No.
Like, you can't play a foot race game with him on the court.
Okay. I don't mean like let's run up and down the floor. I'm talking about it was going into like the fourth quarter, they were tied at like 71-70. And then the game ends, 76ers have like 96. And the Heat just made it out of the 80s. So the fact that you can like fill it up when you want to, it's just, you don't want to do it all the time. Like, are they, it feels like they're playing into the hands of the Heat just to kind of show them, like, we can beat you at your own game.
I don't see it as that. I see it more of Calvin direction of James Harden's not playing fast right now, right? Like, that's not his thing for the 76ers team. And then you have James Harden not playing fast, and you have Joel Embiid. But then a lot of times you have Tobias Harris, who's also sometimes, when they might play small, he's the tallest person on the court.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, especially when Joel Embiid was out, right? He's like a 6'7", 6'8", perimeter player. So all of a sudden, he wasn't. Yeah. Say it again?
He's 6'10".
Tobias Harris?
Harris. Yeah. Yes, he is.
He's like 6'8".
I thought he was listed like 6'8". According to ESPN, he is listed at 6'7".
6'7"? He's 6'10". It's okay.
Come on. But when he shoots, he gets any shot he wants, like in the half court. So I think playing fast would honestly play into the hands of the 76ers, not the Heat. Because Jimmy Butler, he want to get to the rim. He can't shoot threes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they have shooters around him, but their best player, he want to get to the rim. And so you want to start from the inside out, the outside in with him. And I think they're more suited for, like, more of a fast break team than the 76ers are, at least.
Okay. I feel you on that. I got another series for y'all.
All right.
Suns, Mavericks.
Listen,
are y'all enjoying this as much as I am?
I'm enjoying this mainly because I didn't foresee any of this happening. I, like Calvin, didn't see the Mavericks even getting out the first round. So the fact that they're tied 2-2 is kind of ridiculous. But also, Dallas is losing. Chris Paul's family got hands put on him. Do you think Chris Paul is gonna no, this ain't a championship, right? This ain't a championship. If it's a championship, like, I don't know about Chris Paul. But in this second round of playoffs, do you think Chris Paul is gonna allow himself or his teammates to lose to a fan base that it was harassing his family? Chris Paul, if he wasn't motivated, you know he's already motivated for no reason. If he wasn't motivated before, he's going to be stupid motivated. And he's already one of these all-time great leaders. He has those kind of, like, qualities about himself. Listen, they're going to find a way to bring down Giannis, or not Giannis, bring down Luka from this heavenly status he's on right now because of basketball playing. But, like, I really think the Mavericks fans are going to be the reason that they lose. I really think so.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think for the leadership standpoint, the young guys on the Suns love Chris Paul. Like,
they do.
Like, run through a brick wall for me type love Chris Paul. So you know all of them. They're looking for blood at this point.
It's funny, because not everybody's going to be Chris Paul in terms of just, like, you know, mentality of how you approach the game, right? I mean, like, on an everyday basis, on the game-to-game playoff basis. But then you give him reason for extra motivation on the role players, because the role players haven't been playing as well for Phoenix as the role players for Dallas has. But with that being the case, you're giving them reasons for the, because when they play well, Phoenix and Milwaukee have the two best role players in the two best role playing squads in the NBA. So all of a sudden, Dallas fans are given the reasons to, like, oh no, we can't. We gotta get this mentality right. So I really I put money on the fact that Phoenix is gonna win this series. I put money on it.
Hey, we already know Chris Paul is a dirty player. Who he hitting in the nuts? Like, who is he taking out of this game?
I don't think he's taking anybody out. I think he'll get mad on foul trouble though from flopping.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, that pretty much happened in his last game, man.
I saw. I was sick.
I don't think that's a good thing either. Like, for you to have your worst performance on their, like, home court.
Yeah, but...
But you got home court advantage. It doesn't really matter.
Chris Paul also has weird games like that sometimes. Like, yeah, Chris Paul will have weird games like that sometimes. Where he was just like, go 14 for 14 from the field. But all of a sudden, like, no, he looks pedestrian. You know what I mean? But also, he's 37 and looks like a peanut. So, you know what I mean? Like, he's doing great right now for his age and where he is in his career. But why would you give a man like him and his mentality extra motivation to be a better leader than he already is? He's already an all-time great leader. That don't make no... like. This is why bad fan bases will ruin a person's career. Like, bad fan bases will ruin the career, can ruin the career of, like, really great players because of this stupid extra motivation, stuff like that. You know what I mean? But also, I'm really glad that the Mavericks made it out the first round because JK deserves a head coaching job.
Yeah. Look. Let's switch it over to the Dallas Mavericks. Luka has been incredible, but the person I feel like has just played himself into like a $100 million contract is Jalen Brunson. I've liked Brunson since like his high school basketball days. Like, dude's always been a killer. He has a great story. Like, I don't know if y'all noticed, his dad was like a NBA backup point guard for like 10 years. He played with Allen Iverson for a few of them. And Jalen has this amazing story where he was with his dad when he got cut. And his dad started crying. And Jalen like looks up at his dad and is like, "Dad, I'm gonna make it and I'm gonna make everybody remember your name." Which is the cutest story I could possibly think of for any kid to like look at their parent and be like, "I'm gonna make this up to you." And he's doing it, yo. Like, ever since he got to Dallas, he got to Dallas, I want to say the same year Luka did, and that was the same year I had season tickets. So I kind of got to watch him like grow up over like the 3 years that I was in Dallas. And this feels right. Like, he's playing at the level that I hate to do this because this is a bad comparison. These two players should not be in the same category considering like what all happened to them. This feels like what happened to campaign like last season, where he went from laughing stock to, oh my goodness, this dude could probably be a starter on some of these teams.
Literally, before last year, campaign was only known for dancing with Russell Westbrook. That's literally what he was known for.
Look, in getting kicked out of the league in what, before his rookie contract was even up, as a lottery pick. Like, that is a crazy thing. Jalen Brunson was never in the same situation. But all of the winning he has done over his career, like, I am super glad and happy to see him having this success at this level because he's earned it and he deserves it. And this is Q Drake's God's plan. Like, this is what is supposed to happen, yo. And I'm, like, super excited to be watching, like, everything that's happening. Because he out here little boy in people, and I love it. Like, him in... like, there's gonna be some issue with their coexisting between him and Luka Doncic. Like, Luka Doncic is basically playing not rec league ball, but kind of like pickup. Like, everybody else is on the team, but it's like, no, just give me the ball. I'm going to make something happen, and most likely that is going to be the score. Like, I really feel bad for Cam Johnson. He had to do that little boy like that. And I'm talking about a man that's like 16, 220 plus. But that's what Luka is making people look like. Like, he is picking his spots, and nobody in that series can guard him right now.
I'm going to be honest with you. How I feel about Luka Doncic right now must be how, like, our parents felt about Larry Bird. Because I just don't get it. And when I say get it, I don't understand how he gets his shot off. I don't. It's so slow looking. Him going to the rim is so slow looking. Everything he does is in slow motion, and I truly don't understand how he is so effective. And, you know, I could come up with all these theories and kind of stuff, but that's all they would be, theories. I don't get it. It's a marvel to see, but I promise you, I said this last week, I was like, I could kind of compare, like, I don't like Draymond, but I promise you, I probably wouldn't have liked Dennis Rodman. I don't get Luka, so I know I wouldn't have got Larry Bird. I don't understand how you are able to maneuver moving like you a Snapchat filter.
Look, I got two answers for you. Being 6'8 helps. And look a dick. Like that's a big dude. And it's not even like
it's like, not like, he like kinda thick or thick.
You said what? No. It ain't no kind of thing, but he's a big dude. Like you can like JJ Redick was talking about this on his podcast. When Luka takes his shirt off, it's not what you think. Like you probably think he like some little doughy preteenish body before like you hit puberty. Where it's like, oh, you got baby fat. Like apparently this man is like kind of jacked. He's just not cut at all. So like that level of strength and footwork while being 6'8". Who you at 6'8", like there's only a select few wing defenders that can stay in front of you. And like they have the height to really affect your shot. Those dudes that we're talking about.
And it helps he got good footwork. Look, but once again, he is Larry Bird. Like everything you just said, from all like the interviews I've watched and all the games I've watched, those are the exact same comparisons. I don't earn like it's wild. I'm like, yeah, he weirdly strong. He got crazy footwork. He's tall. And the release of his shot is, like, back here. Right? It's, like, far behind his head. Not like, you know, like a Steph Curry's is, like, right here. Like, on the side of his head.
Yeah.
Lucas is a tall, and he releases his ball very, very high. You know what I mean? And it's just, like, sometimes, like, I'm not, like, crazy invested in certain teams for the NBA. Like, I'm more like invested in players. But like I'd be like, how is it? I'd be yelling at my TV screen if I had a team going against him. Because he wants players like, man, I could do that. But I'm like, no, you can't. You can't guard nothing like that. But you feel like you should, which for players, gotta be frustrating. Yeah. That's gotta be frustrating.
Like, and I think the funniest part about all of this is that he's doing this against the Phoenix Suns. And when he got drafted, the very first game he had was against the Phoenix Suns. And he did not look good in that first game. Like, everybody gave him work. Like, DeAndre Ayton, like, had a couple possessions where he was just bullying that man in the post. I do not know why he was guarding DeAndre Ayton, to be honest with you. But that happened. And now he's the bully. Like, every single defender that they put in front of him, he like, oh, I know exactly what to do with you. Like, yeah. Like Aiden, you're not quick enough. I'm sorry. Mikal Bridges, I don't care that you can lock me up. I'm going to just put you in a post. Like, he's doing that to every single person. He has an answer to every single defender. And that's special, yo. Like, I can't think of a lot of players that are kind of like, oh, no, I got like 2-3 things and you're not going to be able to stop it. Like, I can think of a player that has like one thing who's like, no, this is it. Like, that's Kevin Durant's pull-up. Nothing you can do about it. Unless you're Boston. Luka's like, no. I got like 5 different spots and I got like 3 different moves. You do the numbers and I'm going to put up numbers. Worst host ever.
Look, I mean, like, there's not a lot to add to that other than, like, wrong, right? Just looking through, like, the box scores and whatever, and, like, the box scores only tell you so much, granted, but, like, if I was playing if I was coaching against the Mavericks, is it wrong that, like,
I wouldn't care that much if Luka scored.
No.
Like,
it's true. You don't care that much about what you can't stop. That makes sense.
Well, it's, again, that's not what I meant, though. Just, like, I wouldn't really care about, like, trying to stop him from scoring. I'd rather try to, like, keep his teammates from doing anything. Because if Luka puts up 40, that's nice. But that's not enough to win a game.
But if Jalen Brunson puts up 25 and Luka puts up 40, you're in trouble.
But, yes, I can't have that being a thing because for the next 20 years, I have to argue and have to find ways to argue against Luka. So, like, I can't be having
to. Remember, there's always the rings argument.
Say again?
There's always the rings argument.
Yeah, if I was on ESPN. But, like, real basketball players are, like, or bad basketball, you know, knowledgeable people don't use that argument as well. But it's, yeah, Luka's just good. Like, I don't even find him exciting to watch play basketball. He's just good. It's like Tim Duncan.
You're being nice. I'm thinking the old man that plays pickup with you. Like, he's just like, I got two things I'm gonna do. And you I'm too strong. And I've been doing this for 30 years. Sorry. And I know Luka's like younger than us, but he's been doing this for 15 years. He's been a pro for 15 years.
Yeah, that's kind
of. Like, it's crazy.
That's. And everybody got mad at Warfus and LaMelo over there. Okay.
Well, the draft is coming up, but like.
Y'all know who's in that draft? Like, outside of like five people. Outside of Paolo, outside of the most productive player that I've ever seen in high school basketball, Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, Jaden Ivey. Who else can you guys name?
Jalen Duren, JD Davison, Kennedy Chandler, Ty Washington.
Still in the draft?
I haven't heard about him pulling his name out.
His ass need to go back. Go back. Go back to gold.
Jesus. If I was him, I might like. That's a separate discussion. I think Minot's still in it. Like, I don't think he's pulled his name out to this point.
Oh yeah,
McCormick's in it. Nothing.
G League Combine. There's a reason. There's a reason. Come on, yeah.
Jaden Hardy.
Bro, you know how long it's been since I've heard that name? Like, I'm a draft nerd, and I thought Jaden Hardy was going to be the 2.0 version of
because he's been in the G League and hasn't played particularly well.
Yeah, man. Like, I had high hopes for the kid. He still got 10-plus years to figure it out, but, like, had high hopes.
What, Kendall Brown? We said Banchero already, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. AJ Griffin. You get the idea. I know some names.
You know what's crazy? This time last year, we were talking about how well they were doing at the St. James tournament.
That is wild. That is wild.
Philip out here doing the thinking, man.
Listen, this is y'all thing. I would send them dudes to the league. Then I'll talk about them. Phew.
No.
But Kennedy Chandler's going to be good.
Yeah, but that's kind of how I feel about this draft class. I don't think anyone in this draft class is special. Like, I think everybody in this draft class has a role to play. Like, yes, there are going to be some all-stars. Fan votes. People gonna love Chet Holmgren. He's gonna put up enough numbers on both sides to be respectable. I can see Banchero having like a Carlos Boozer-esque career. But I don't think any of these guys are your number one. Like, I personally don't think they're your number two. You just can't convince me anything on Chet at this point. Like, I gotta see him against grown men.
For some of them, it's just going to depend on how, like, they develop and, like, where they end up. Which we could say about basically every draft ever, except the 2000 draft, which was collectively awful for some reason.
But I feel like what you just said, it depends on where they go. This is the most I've ever seen with a draft class that it strictly depends on where they go and they can get the right development and pieces around them. I cannot see a situation where Trent Holmgren goes somewhere where he has to play center immediately.
I don't think that would be bad.
I don't think that's going to work well. And like somebody was talking about, like, he'd be a great fit in Portland until they need to guard a big man. And there's several big men in the West that he has to show up with on a consistent basis. Yes, he'll be able to block shots. He'll be able to rebound from day one. There are certain players in the league right now that the minute he steps on the floor, I need them to think lunch meat.
I would like to see him try and guard Zion.
Dog, I'd like to see him guard Paul George.
I'd like to see Zion play.
Speaking of Zion, I would like to see him guard CJ McCollum. Like, there's a list of guys that I would like to see him guard, and there are plenty of people like this in this draft. Like, do y'all remember, like, a few years ago, this was supposed to be the draft?
That,
like, 21, 22, 23 were supposed to be the drafts. Whereas, like, if you got a lottery pick in those two draft classes, you are getting a game changer for your franchise.
When's Mikey coming out?
Not the case. You said what?
Mikey coming out?
In like 2024?
Because I thought that man was 29 now. I've been hearing about this man longer than I've heard about anybody. But like, you're right. From like Imani Bates and Chet and all them, like, you, this draft was, or this class, I guess, was. Well, up to be
Bates
like,
would be next year. Just he's too young anyway.
Well, he won't be a lottery pick. It doesn't matter. So
not at the rate he's going.
The way he played, it's a wrap. But also, like, NBA franchises now tend to pick off athleticism more than skill and potential. So like he also still could go up there. But the way he played this year, I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, he averaged 15 points a game next year and has less than two turnovers a game and shows any inclination of being able to pass the ball, still a lottery pick. People drink.
He doesn't have the athleticism, though. Unless he's been living in the weight room.
You need one. It's 14 spots and you need one. Speaking of which, that 2023 class, I need them to have good college years, because that is going to be one where people drool. Like, go look up the senior class, this 2022 class. Like, shoot, watch the McDonald's All-American game. Every single one of them look like dudes, except like four or five. And those four or five are kind of like, yeah.
So, like, you know, we've gotten off of the main of this, so we can finish talking about this off the pod or just run something up for this. So I guess we can go ahead and get out of here.
We here, baby. You asked for it.
I was trying to be polite.
We're friends. What you gotta be polite for? We're
well, Phil's just been like on his phone for like the last 5 minutes.
What?
Hey, dog, you do know Philip don't be listening to us when we talk, right? Like, it's very normal for Philip to be on his phone.
Yeah, I do. It's just when y'all start talking about very specific draft things, that kind of zone out because I don't know what y'all talking about. Sure,
fair enough.
Absolutely.
I guess it was like when Alan listened to us talk about wrestling before the pod last week.
I paid attention. Did I know what y'all was talking about? No.
Right. Did I care? Exactly.
No, but you guys were happy. So I paid attention. I sat there.
But I feel like every draft class gets either talked about like they're the best draft class in years or like the worst draft class in years. And so like I don't even feel compelled to be like, yeah, this draft class is nothing but heat. Or like, yeah, this draft class is kind of disappointing and whatever. It doesn't feel constructive and people are basically always wrong.
Look. That's part of the reason why I'm still kind of, I got to see Chet Holmgren work. Because there's way too much hype. And I'm like, there's so many. There's like flashes of where it's kind of like, why are we pushing this hard for this? But again, that's something we can talk about a little bit over off the podcast. Because I got issues. But anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I have been your host, Alan Pettigrew, and in front of me are my two best friends in the world. Before I let them sign out, guys, thank you so much for listening this far. Go ahead and like, subscribe. Of course, there's going to be some really fun videos at the end of this that YouTube is going to suggest, and I think you will really like them. Like, we got good content over here, bro. This is what we do. We have good banter. We know basketball. And if you like high school basketball, you just want to be abreast on the next superstars that are coming into the league, we got that, baby. That's what we do over here. Calvin, Phillip, go ahead, sign us out.
Well, Alan did what I usually do on this. So
took your job, babe.
You know, everybody, thanks for, you know, sticking with us to the end here. Enjoy the rest of your week. And actually, that's all I got.
He did take your shot on. That's crazy. that's crazy. I realized my like, didn't count when you do that. But yes. My name is Philip Dixon, a.k.a. the Raisin Brand Man. And thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And now, last week was Teacher Appreciation Week, so continue to appreciate teachers. Thank you.